What I've gathered from Richard Tan is we are starting a new series in the month of October, and today's the first one. We'll be studying five parables from the Gospel of Luke, and today's the first one. God willing, the next four Sundays we'll have other four parables. So we'll start with the first one, which is in Luke chapter 18, verse 19 to 14. Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves, he means the Lord Jesus Christ, that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners or robbers, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes, which means one in tenth, of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. This man means the tax collector. Went down to his house justified rather than the other, which means the Pharisee. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Let's pray for a minute. Father, we thank the Lord for this morning time. We thank the Lord for thy word. We read this word. Bless this word, Lord. As we meditate from this few verses for the next few minutes, help us to understand and help us to guide us the marvelous truths in thy scripture, Lord. We pray all these things in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I recently read an interesting a phrase or a quote, and it says this, we are good judges in judging others' mistake, and we are good lawyers in justifying our mistakes. In essence, it says that we are good judges, it's a judiciary terms, by the way, we are good judges and we are good lawyers too. We are good judges in judging others' mistake, and at the same time, we are good lawyers in justifying our own mistakes. The Lord said this parable without any much explanation. From the beginning of the parable itself, we read that the reason he said that, verse 9 clearly tells us. He said because some people trusted in themselves. They want to prove to the world, or they want to explain that they can do certain things in their own way. Now the Lord took two people at that point of time history in that part of the world considered to be to extreme end. One is a Pharisee. Pharisee means that a person who are qualified and trained to interpret God's word. The scholar says that they used to have 70 or 72 Pharisees only at a certain time, because they are really qualified and taught and teach the Torah or the Old Testament scriptures to the common man. And you have another man, which is a tax collector, a man who collects tax for the Roman Empire, whom considered or perceived by an average Jew as the least among the whole people. Now, we all know that we are living in a society. Some or the other way, people try to classify. Sometimes, on the basis of their social structure or the basis of their material income or the financial status. For example, what kind of house you live, what kind of car you drive, what kind of job you have, what kind of profession you have. On the basis of that, people try to make some assumptions. The other word we can use is
prejudice. Because we assume that if you have a certain things, that you are better than the other person. So either the word prejudice or the word perceived idea about certain things, you can see this way. Now, I'm from India. We have different way in that part of the world we see people. That base, particularly if you are belong to Hindu religion, they classify on the basis of the caste system you belong to. So they have primarily four castes. They have Brahmins, and then they have the Kshatriyas, and the Vaishyas, and Shudras, four classification. And then they have the class, the lowest in the whole class is called untouchables. The people who are considered, they are no value at all. So they can't even come to a temple. That was in the past. Now they've changed some kind of social revolution. They can come to temple, I suppose, these days. But in the olden days, I was told they can't even come to a Hindu temple. So that's this different class system they have. Based on the, it's also called as Varna system or caste system. So which caste you belong in that particular religion determines certain status you have in the society. So this kind of classification you will find in different form, different version, whichever part of the world we live. In certain countries, is based on the income you have. In certain countries, based on the kind of family. Are you belong to a monarch family? Are you belong to a royal family? Or you belong to a ruling family? All those things determines. We are living in a world where people try to classify on the basis of some of their qualities they think attributed. And I think the best way of easily understanding this is look into the prison. I don't know how many of you have been to a prison. I used to do prison ministry when I was in India. I couldn't do much in the last few years because I moved from India to Middle East. Couldn't do much in Middle East because if you try to do evangelism in prison, you yourself go to prison. You know, that type of situation. Here, after I moved to Australia, I must confess I haven't done anything that way, but I think I must do. That's my mistake too. But I remember visiting to prison in India. It's very interesting, you know, when you go to prison and you have a conversation with various inmates in the prison. And you will come to know a lot of things. One of the interesting facts I've understood from talking to inmates in prison, one of the things is, even in the prison they have classifications. You know, it depends on what kind of crime you have committed. So for example, if you are a tax invader, done some kind of, they call it as paper, there's a local word for that, but I'm trying to translate it, it's something called as paper crimes, which means that you have done something on the paper only. You know, for example, you made some kind of forgery or counterfeit or that kind of crimes considered to be the better compared to others. And then comes the next category of people, those who come to the robbery, breaking into the house, stealing stuff, pickpocketing. All those stuff come to the next category. And then comes the other category who's done some physical attack to people. You know, you're punching somebody or other hurting somebody, that kind of category. And then comes the murders. Those who actually kill somebody, and they are the lowest one. And among all the worst ones are the rapists and the pedophiles. And probably somewhere around the line you have the drug abuse and the alcohol abuse that come to the other side too. So even in a prison, they classify themselves on the kind of crime you've done. On the basis of that, try to classify inmates in the prison. But they all forget one thing, and the fundamental thing everybody needs to understand, the inmates inside prison, I mentioned that while I was sharing the gospel, why you are there in the first place. And that's the kind of common perceived idea, even in our society where we are living. We try to justify ourselves, some way of comforting ourselves by comparing ourselves with other people. And we have no mercy on those who are weak where we are strong, and where we are weak, we try to justify ourselves by comparing ourselves with other people. That's what exactly the Lord tried to tell us in this parable. We have this man, Pharisee. We are not told his name. Pharisee is a title. It's not a name, by the way. That's his title. He attained the title by interpreting, learning the Torah in Hebrew language, learning the, they have Torah and Mishnah. They also have Mishnah means the commentary of the Old Testament scripture. So Mishnah is written somewhere around 200 BC and 100 BC that time. So they have the Torah, Mishnah, all those things thoroughly scrutinized, learned man. He's well learned and educated in all the law of the Old Testament, and he earned the title Pharisee. That's not his name, that's his title. His name is not given to us. It's just a parable. But that's the name he earned in the past. Now he's going there to the temple to pray. And the first question is, why he's going there to the temple? The scripture says he's going there to pray, but there is a motive we need to understand. Is he going to pray before God, or is he going to pray to show it to the people on the other side? Or is he going there to show off to the other people? That's the one thing very interesting we need to find out. And obviously when he goes there, he does the same thing what we see even in the prison too, that he's going to compare himself. Now, if you think that, you know, some people, I humorously say this, some people think that, you know, they are perfect, they don't make any mistake at all. And I humorously tell them the best way to come out from the predicament is, you know, I must confess that I used to think that in that way. And after I got married, I realized what's the true color of my own personality. So if you think that you are really a good person, doesn't make any mistake, the best way to come out from that predicament is, I would advise, get married. And if you get and if you get married to a godly woman, that's it. You would know who you are. And that's what our normal human kind of attempt, that we compare ourselves with others and we try to feel comfort ourselves, we are better. You ask some people in the assemblies, in the church, you know, we assume that everyone has got saved. But if you ask some young people, are you sure you're going to heaven? And some people would say that, you know, if that person in the church goes to heaven, definitely I'm going to go. That's not what the scripture says. That's not what the scripture says. We don't come to a conclusion, we don't come to an understanding on the basis of comparing ourselves with somebody else. And then they say that if that person goes to heaven, then definitely I'll go. That's not what the scripture says. The scripture doesn't allow us to do that, because the scripture says very clearly in Romans chapter 3 that all have sinned and all have come short glory of God. All have sinned. The scripture is very clear. And in order to compare, in order to feel better, in order to feel, say to ourselves, we are better than the others, we all do that short way or shortcut, comparing ourselves with others. And the question that I need to answer in my mind and you need to answer in your life is, with whom we are comparing. This man who is a Pharisee, he earned that title, he's comparing himself. He gave a list of people here. Number one, he's comparing with he's thanking God, saying that he's not like an extortioner, which means he's not like a robber. He's not a robber, he's not an unjust, he's not an adulterer, and at last he's saying that he's not even like that publican. He's comparing himself with all the other people whom he thinks that they are lower than him. But the scripture tells us a different story. The scripture tells a different truth. The truth is, the Bible is making very clear, all have come short of glory of God. Before God, we all are sinners. No one is righteous. No one is righteous. But But you see, we can understand from the scripture the motive of this man is to feel good in himself. The title was given to me for this evening, this morning's, this message is Exploring the Religion. If you actually look into the other systems, religious systems in this world, even some people who claimed Christians, I'm not particularly judging any particular denomination or whatever the church background, all those things. I'm no one to do that. But I know that even some people who claim they're Christians, they're finding their righteousness not in the light of the God's word, but in their own premeditated and perceived ideas. The reason with Pharisee was this: he knew the scripture in and out. He knew how to interpret it. He also knew how to write commentary on the Old Testament. But the fact of the matter is, he never analyzed himself. He didn't see himself in the light of God's word. That's a mistake anybody, including me, anybody can make. The question is how much you know the scripture. The question is not how much you study the scripture. The question is how much you are reading all the commentaries in the world possible to teach yourself. The question is how much you humble before the Lord in the light of God's word. Psalm 119 says this beautiful verse, Lord, help me to understand the marvelous truth in God's word. That should be the prayer every time, every day when you read the scripture. Just because we are familiar with the scripture, that does not mean that we know the scripture. Just because we know the stories in the Bible, that doesn't mean that we understand the scripture. Just because I memorize and meditate, memorize the words, that I can memorize verses from the Bible, that doesn't mean that I know the scripture. I must every day morning, or whenever you read the scripture, whenever you meditate the scripture, humble ourselves before God's word and turn to the Lord and ask God to guide us when we meditate God's word. It's easy to slip away. It's easy to slip away from the truth of God just by assuming that we know the scripture very well. And it's easy when we are familiar with the stories, when we are familiar with some of the Old Testament stories and the New Testament stories, the parables, the various other teaching and so on. We listen to the God's word pretty much every day, or we go and listen to the ministry in the next week as we are announced. There's a ministry in Balgata, also there's a ministry in Victoria. We can go there and listen. All this possible, but if we are not try to humble ourselves and before the God's word and ask God's forgiveness, the guidance of Holy Spirit in our life to guide our life. In that way, if we are not humbling ourselves, we are making the same mistake done by this Pharisee. And it's easy to make that mistake. The reason it's easy to make that mistake, the sin here is pride. Any sin is easy to understand without much difficulties. For example, if I'm lying, it's not that difficult. If I'm stealing things, if I pickpocketing, or if I'm an adulterer, if I'm a womanizer, if you are a drunkard, or a person who making swearing, any kind of sin, most of the sin is easy to understand. But this particular sin called pride, I found it's the most subtle and difficult to understand. And please bear in your mind, the first sin ever committed was sin of pride. Not by Adam, but the devil. Any other sin is not difficult to understand, pretty much easy to understand. But that very sin called pride is the one of the most difficult sin even to understand, or even to try to, how to avoid that sin itself is very complicated, I found it. And that's why we read about Lucifer in the Old Testament. The first sin was that one. The first sin was not Lucifer going to do some kind of robbery or stealing from the Lord or anything like that. It was his desire which formed in his own thinking style that he wants to be above God. That's the most subtlest sin you could ever find. Any other sin which is not that much difficult to understand. But this sin, even the other person can't say it to you, it's only you can find it, or I can find it, if I humble myself before the Lord. And that's why somebody has said, I can't remember who said it, somebody has said that I've seen men, people confessing that, saying, I'm a liar, please forgive me. I've heard people saying that, I'm a drunkard, please forgive me. I've seen people saying that I made bad words, please forgive me. You will never ever see somebody stand up and saying, friends, I have a problem. And my problem is, I'm a proud man. Very seldom we see it. I didn't say it. I think Clive Staples Lewis, C.S. Lewis said that. You will find people confessing a lot of other things. If they are drunkard, womanizer, swear words, lying, a lot of things, abusive words, belittling others. You might see a lot of people, that kind of mistakes or sins people making, you will find people confessing it. But very seldom you'll see this. Somebody stand up and saying, look, God, I got a problem. And my problem is, I'm a proud man or a proud woman. Because that sin is the most subtlest and difficult even to understand. I believe only God's wisdom, only divine wisdom could help us. Even our big good friends may not be able to help us to understand this one. Because this sin is deeply inside the heart. One little boy once wearing this badge, you know. I'm saying this example to understand how subtle this thing is. This little boy wearing a badge saying that I'm the most humblest kid in the school. Even in humbleness, you can be proud. You see the subtleness of the matter. Even in humbleness, you can be proud. You can be proud saying that I'm the most humblest person. Want to be really true before the Lord? Come to the light of God's word. Just begging to the Lord, praying to the Lord. Giving us to that divine wisdom to understand the truth in God's scripture. So that's what he did. The first thing was he was comparing himself. He found that he is better than so on. He's better than certain people, and finally better than the tax collector. But the tax collector, we see a different situation. He went there understanding the fact he is not going to compare himself with anybody. Probably it is fine. It's still possible for him to compare with some other people. He could compare himself with probably the prostitutes or some other people who does that kind of thing. And he could say that I'm better than them. But he went to the presence of the Lord, making that prayer his most unworthy in his life. And the Lord says that he is the one who justified in the presence of the Lord. It's easy to make a prayer that everyone thinks that you're the most spiritualist person in the world. It's easy to preach a message from the Bible thinking that you are the best spiritual person in the world. It's not difficult to hide certain things and portray yourself the best person in the world. But there is two eyes up above who see in your heart. In the book of Hebrews, we read that. All things are naked and open before him, and the Lord is the consuming fire. He can see your heart. What exactly you're thinking in your right in your mind, he can see it. I can't see it. Your friends can't see it. Your spouse can't see it. But the Lord can see it. He can see the right picture in your heart, what the thoughts going in your heart. And the question is, are you justified in his presence? It's easy for, if I'm a very clever and I know how to manipulate things, it's easy for me to manipulate this situation and show to others I'm the most best person in the world and the most most spiritual person in the world. All those games of game of duplicity you can play depends how clever you are. But you can never, ever play that kind of game in the presence of God. He's seeing in your heart. And the question is, whether you're humble before the people, before your fellow brethren, or before other people, no, the question is, are you truly humble before your Lord? When he's seeing your heart, are you the really humblest person before him in his presence? And then we can think about our relationship with others. The first thing we need to be clear is my relationship with my Lord, my fellowship with him. My relation with him, is it clear? Am I humbling myself before him or not? Once we've done that, it's easy for us to deal with the other things, even our relationship with other people. That's what this tax collector did. He went there. He has no one to compare. He is the only one person to compare himself. And he, when he compared in the presence of the Lord, in the holiness of the God, he found he is most unworthy. And he's asking that simple prayer, would you forgive me? That's what we see at the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. We see two malefactors, two criminals. Everyone is mocking, and the other criminal is also mocking him. But he made the simple prayer, Lord, would you remember me when you come in all his glory? And the Lord promised him, you will be with him today in paradise. When you look at the cross, that's what we see, the true picture of human heart. The one who made, in him, we read those three statements, don't we? In him no sin, he did no sin, he knew no sin. In him no sin, he did no sin, he knew no sin. He's the one hanging on that cross. Why? Because he became our righteousness. When we come to the presence of the Lord, the only thing we can be sure that we are righteous, not because of anything we attained, not because we earned anything, not because we achieved anything, but because of one thing, this one truth, Christ died for us on the cross. He made our righteousness. He reconciled us. And because of him and through him, we are righteous before God. Not because anything we've done, not because we achieved anything, but purely because he has lifted us up. He reconciled us into God's glory by death on the cross and his blood shed on the cross. That's what I found this beautiful hymn. I asked Brother Phil to lead us in this hymn. Michael, can we project it? Is it possible? Ah, beautiful. Read that hymn. I actually don't know the tune, but when I found this hymn in our hymn book, I thought the words are very powerful. Beneath the cross of Jesus, I fain would take my stand, the shadow of a mighty rock within a weary land, a home within the wilderness, a rest upon the way, from the burning of the noontide heat and the burden of the day. And the verse 3 I found is most heart-touching words I found. Verse 3 of hymn 23, we read this. Upon the cross of Jesus, mine eye at times can see the very dying form of one who suffered there for me. And from my smitten heart, with tears, two wonders I confess, the wonder of his glorious love and my own worthlessness. And from my smitten heart, that's what we read about that that publican, that tax collector. He was beating his breast. From my smitten heart, with tears, two wonders I confess, the wonder of his glorious love and my own worthlessness. While we are sitting, can we sing this hymn? Phil, could you lead us? In a world where people are trying to find their own righteousness, in their own way of interpretation things, our responsibility and our challenge this morning we have, try to analyze, try to understand ourselves in the light of God's word. God's word gives us the true picture of our own life. That word can lead us. And we humble ourselves in the presence of the Lord, in the presence of cross. The cross is the place we find our righteousness. That's the place we find our own unworthiness. And that's the place we find who truly we are, and who truly we were, and who truly we are now, and who truly we will be in the future. Let's give thanks for the time and pray. Briefly. Father, we thank the Lord for your blessed Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank the Lord for this complete work of salvation on the cross. We thank the Lord for the verse we read from the scripture, which clearly tells us the truth of life. We make mistakes, we commit our sins in that area of that sometimes we have pride. Lord, we confess, we admit that we are weak. We pray that help us not to fall in that sin in our life, but to be strengthened in thy word. Be guide and be filled in the Holy Spirit so that we might have a successful Christian life in our everyday. We once again pray for this evening meeting. Lord, bless the meeting. Bless those who are coming in the meeting. We also ask for the guidance and the help and strength for Brother Thomas, who will be speaking this evening, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all this goodness you showed us. Thank you, Lord, for a good time we had in the morning to worship you, Lord. Now we take our journey home, Lord. Watch over us as we travel to our home. We ask all these things in the precious name of Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.